Razorback Pizza Report. Jim's Razorback Pizza with three locations throughout Central Arkansas. Highway 10 just past Taylor Loop and Little Rock, just off the Morgan Maumelle exit, and in Hot Springs off Central Avenue at the Temperance Hill Square.
Allen rolling to his right, looking deep. He's got Herndon behind the defense, complete at the goal line. Touchdown, Arkansas! Javonte Herndon got behind everybody. Allen hit him on the move for 49-6.
Well, if you wanted to know what Coach B football is like, now you're getting an opportunity to see it.
Second down and 8. Football's at the Cajun 10-yard line. Jonathan Williams is the tailback. They split Hunter Henry out wide to the left side. They'll keep an eye on him. Allen, play action fake. Throws to his fullback out of the backfield. Small at the 5. Makes a man miss to the goal line. Touchdown, Arkansas! Kiero Small, nimble along the sidelines. 10 yards and a touchdown.
No, I thought he was tremendous. I said this the other day, and I mean it. If you want to go to the quarterback store and find the demeanor and personality of what you want, he's got it. He's very, very calm. Coaches a lot of times will get volatile, and he just kind of handles the storm. Really hasn't shown me anything but complete composure. Very impressed with his quarterback skills that have nothing to do with throwing football, if that makes sense. I mean, he's got that demeanor and personality that are I think what makes championship quarterbacks.
Welcome back to Little Rock Touchdown Club, brought to you by our friends at Epic Health. Arkansas wins it 34-14, cruising to victory over the University of Louisiana, outgaining the Raging Cajuns 522-274. And boy, what a time of possession domination by Arkansas, 37 minutes plus to 22. And hopefully get that defense rested up for this week at Samford. Arkansas, just an impressive victory overall, and I thought Brandon Allen especially good, and we'll take a look at some of the numbers here coming up in just a second. Also going to visit with Dan Hampton, who is the featured guest here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, in just a few minutes as well. Brandon Allen finishes 15 of 22, 3 touchdowns, no picks, at 68%, 230 yards. And then the 1-2 punch of Jonathan Williams and Alex Collins. Two backs over 130 yards. Very, very impressive for Arkansas. Williams, 151, and a touchdown. And Alex Collins, how about 0 negative yards? He was not stopped for a loss at all in his freshman debut. 131 yards on 21 carries. So a very good performance out of the freshman, the best 1-2 punch Arkansas has had in a while. I don't want to compare him to McFadden and Jones just yet, but they've been really, really good, just saying. So Williams and Collins, very impressive. All right, it is time now to get defensive with Matty Harris.
Getting defensive with Matt Harris is brought to you by Exceptional Physical Therapy, specializing in sports injury rehabilitation, back pain, and balance retraining. Exceptional PT is breast cancer certified and is one of the only 2 lymphedema clinics in the state. Exceptional Physical Therapy for an exceptional you. 1102 South Street in Benton, or on the web at exceptionalpt.com.
38 seconds. Auburn still has not snapped the ball. Now Burns gets the snap. Cody's going to try to throw deep down the middle of the field. It is intercepted at the 27-yard line. Intercepted by Matt Harris, and the Hogs are going to win this football game.
All right, Matty Harris. And, boy, that was great interception there. And it was such a good pick that you got Kyle Frazier demoted to safety. So it's funny because the ironic twist is because you were such a good safety, you made Kyle Frazier a safety. Nice pick, my man.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Well done.
It was one of the better ones. I remember that year. That was Bobby's first year, and he really wanted to go down there and get a win in Auburn. We had no business being in the game versus those guys. I think they were ranked 17th at the time. And he just lobbed it up over the middle. And, you know, I had to put the clincher on and had to seal the deal, or I would have been benched.
Yeah, it's I could see that.
Yeah.
You guys had a couple of good defensive stops. And that, was it mm-hmm. the Tulsa game in Fayetteville that same year, or was it the next year?
I think that was the same year.
Yeah.
That was the same year.
There was a defensive stop late in that game as well, and I think you ran on a tackle, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Right there on
I don't think
you
got credit. You got credit.
No, I did.
Because I looked for the highlight, and you didn't get credit in the highlight.
Oh,
you
really?
You got credit in the stat sheet.
You know what? As long as we got the win, it was one of those cliche
moments.
What
a team player. I mean, come on, you're taught the right way, my man. No doubt about it.
Well, also, you don't want to lose to Tulsa, even though they were ranked number one in the country in passing and offense. And I think they were ranked top 25 that year, weren't they? As a Malzahn year.
Yeah, that's right. You know, offensively, very impressive. They averaged over 400 yards a game, I think. So.
Yeah, and people came in and they were insulting us, saying how we had no right to be on the field with Tulsa, and are you scared to be with Tulsa? Said, heck no. I'm a defensive back. This is my opportunity of a lifetime. They're going to throw the ball. It's our job to stop them. Why would I be here in the SEC as a defensive back?
You ain't
nervous
scared.
About it.
You ain't scared. I know a few guys who ain't scared, and you're one of those guys who ain't scared.
It was funny because I didn't realize that the newspaper the next day blew up all my quotes, and they were saying that I was talking trash. And ironically enough, I had one of my best games of my career, so
bam.
I had to back it up.
How you like them apples? Well, great start to the Brett Bielema era at Arkansas. A decisive win by Arkansas as they not only get the victory, but they also cover the Vegas number. Are you too loud? Too quiet?
In my headphones.
You want more?
No,
okay, right here. You're yellow right there. We're going to teach you how to run the equipment. Oh, right here. Sorry. Yeah, you're good right there. You good?
Good. I'm good now.
Okay.
He's going to teach you how to run your equipment.
Actually, Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on three.
Okay.
Who's on three?
Who's on three? Matt's on three.
What stood out to you other than the fact that we already talked about the 1-2 punch? Very, very efficient game from Brandon Allen. What stood out to you on both sides?
Both sides of the ball, offensively, I'm a defensive guy, and I want to talk about the offense.
Let's
because I cannot stress how happy I am about our time of possession. I heard you talking about it earlier in the break. I was sitting in the stands with my girlfriend, and I was sitting there saying, do you know how amazing it is that we just went 30 yards in over 3.5 minutes? That hasn't been seen since the last time we were in Atlanta. That is going to keep us in every ball game. I don't care if we're playing Lafayette or Alabama. Heck, we lost to Monroe. Those guys were picked. Lafayette was picked to win their conference this year. They still might. That was a good team that we played a great game against. I was a little hesitant in the first half about our defense. They didn't have a lot of intensity, emotion. There wasn't a lot of pressure on the quarterback. There wasn't a lot of just moving around. I thought the defense was they were playing it basic, but what you learn about a coach is their adjustments. Is their second half, can you go into halftime and come out on fire? And that they did. They got, what, 2 sacks, 2 turnovers in the second half. They looked like a completely different defense, and it gave me a lot more hope. I was a little nervous, I'm not going to lie. But offensively, like you're saying, Brandon Allen is great percentage-wise, and the 1-2 punch with Williams and Collins was great. I can't believe that they performed so well. I mean, I liked seeing one receiver sets and having that receiver come in close to the line of scrimmage, and everyone's just blocking, toss sweep, toss right, toss left. Because I'll tell you, from a defensive standpoint, that's not the game you want to play.
Yeah.
You're getting beat up all game, all day in 120-degree heat against a good SEC team, against a good offensive line. They're only going to get better. So I don't want to say we're going to go to a bowl game because we're picked for 4 or 5 wins, but we got a good shot looking as well as we did.
Say it.
I think we're going to make a bowl game. I think we're going to have one upset in the SEC. We're going to get our wins when we're supposed to, and we're going to steal one from somebody. I don't know where it's going to be, but I think we go to a bowl game if they keep playing and improving.
One of the best plays I saw all day was Kiero Smalley catches a ball.
Yes, I was right there.
And he runs right over a defender, and then he sort of – and Chuck Barrett called him nimble. I don't know if that's the word I would use. But he did keep himself in bounds, and then he – so it was a little bit of both.
Accelerated through.
And he smashed through a dude.
I didn't see that coming, I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to get stopped at the 2 and we punched it in later. But he just tiptoed up that sideline and then controlled his body. I mean, nimble might be a good word for it. He looked like Michael Irvin on that sideline up there a little
bit. He did.
You know, the little playmaker highlight reel.
I don't remember Michael Irvin ever running over anybody at the goal line, though.
No, I don't think he did.
So there was a nice
front flipped over him.
That was a good
it was like Michael and Moose combined.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. What about as a player, it sounds like, you know, obviously, I mean, we didn't see anybody cramp up, and Coach said afterwards that nobody cramped up. So as a player dealing with, you know, you know it's going to be hot anytime, but to have the – to be in the middle of the day, that's unprecedented basically. Since I've been here 16, 17 years, we've never had a 3 o'clock kick in August like that. So that was a tough deal. For the players, do you notice it when it's hot like that? Is it that big a deal? Or is it
not really, because you have to understand you've just been going through 2-a-days for the past month, and hotter than that heat, or maybe just as hot that – I did see – I can't remember who it was. They were coming out of the locker room – I think in the third quarter with an IV bandage on his left arm. But, you know, he came back. I forget who it was. I think it was the defensive side of the ball. But they came back. It was hotter than anything out there, I understand. But you don't really feel the heat. You're going through 2-a-days, and you're kind of used to it by then. You're actually just glad you're not playing against, your buddies out there in the locker room. You're going against an opponent.
That's what I was going to ask. It's got to be at this point now you're getting into that rhythm of an actual football season.
Yes.
Where you know when you're going to play, you know the schedule of the day, you know, and all that. I mean, mm-hmm. this is where you guys really get excited about playing.
No doubt about it. So that heat, it was hot, but they'd been used to the heat. As finally get to play against an opponent, and you really get to open the gate. You know, you don't want a cheap shot, or you're not going to cheap shot anybody regardless, but you get to go full tilt now. If you see that hit that you kind of let up on your buddy in 2-a-days, now you get to really unload that forearm on someone. And it's what you've been working for. As hot or not hot, you're really going to get to get after it now. So,
any areas of concern after week one? I mean, I didn't see anything that didn't excite me. Bottom line is, better in all three phases. Anything that you saw that, you know, you're thinking maybe they got to, from week one to week two, things they need to work on?
Maybe first half defensively, a little more impassioned coming out. They had a long first drive. Stop that. You know, against a better team, they're going to punch that in. They're not going to miss a field goal. You don't want to give up a quick 7 points in that opening drive. But other than that, I mean, like you said, they improved on all three phases. And the best defense is a great run game and an even better punt team. We punted the ball well. We fielded the ball well. I mean, special teams is such a critical point of the game. Look at teams like Alabama and LSU. I was looking at field position when Alabama was playing this week against, who was it, Virginia Tech?
Right.
And they were just getting first down after first down after first down when they didn't even have the ball. And I mean that by their punt team and their defense. They would improve 30 yards at a time because of field position. They would punt the ball 10 yards deeper than Virginia Tech would, and they would cover better.
Yeah.
And their defense would stop them quicker. Then they would get the ball shorter field. And then if they couldn't even get a first down or a touchdown, they would still kick it farther. They would improve their field of possession, and that's what Arkansas did really well this week. So
here's an interesting stat. Arkansas had 0 punt returns this week.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, wait. No, it's not. I don't know if that's good or not.
I don't know if it's good or not. When you win, was it 34-14?
Yeah.
And you have no punt returns. It's almost
weird.
But our defense, you know, I think on some of those in the second half, quarterback sacks, turnovers, we would have had a punt opportunity there. But
they did punt 5 times, so that was good. That's a good stat.
Yeah.
Arkansas only had a punt twice.
Right.
And you know, good enough. So.
But yeah, I'll take it. I will take it. All three phases improved. And if we keep improving, we're going to make a ball game.
I don't know if this was lost on anybody, and I don't think we have the clip because I didn't ask for it specifically, but I did hear Coach Bielema talking in the post game, and he said, you know, we've got to improve a lot before Alabama, okay?
Yeah.
It is not lost on me that he has that game circled. I mean, he talked about Alabama in the preseason. He is not comparing himself to other teams other than the team that is playing at the very pinnacle. He's talking about comparing his program to Alabama.
Look.
That's not a subtle comment. That is very clear to me that his bar is set there. It's not set anywhere else. Look, just going to a bowl game or just being good enough is not good enough for him. He wants to be there.
I love his attitude, and it's this kind of attitude. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. A&M last year. This is what ticks me off about A&M and their whole fan base, and they're all excited. They went to the Cotton Bowl. They beat Alabama. They were the best. But they lost to Florida and they lost to LSU. If you're content with a Cotton Bowl record every year, then Houston Nutt would still be here because that's what we went to when he got fired. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And Brett Bielema is bringing that attitude. And he's got a chance with his philosophy. If we keep improving, we're going to be in that ball game. Are we going to beat them? Not likely. But you can't have that attitude of, oh, well, we're just going to be content with the bowl game in my first year. No, I remember when he came in, he told those seniors, we're not waiting for 2 years. We're not waiting for 3 years to be good. We want to be good right now. And he's serious about it. And after that game, I believe it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, look, there was vast improvement. They just look more sound all the way around. And,
yes.
And look, a lot more sure-handed tackling. Again, execution didn't see much in the way of, and you see it a lot in early games, not much in the way of as far as, you know, clock management or, you know, be able to get a play in. I mean, sometimes you'll see issues with that. I didn't see much of that, if any of that.
Mm-mm.
I thought Brandon Allen was really, really, really solid and steady. I was very, very pleased with what I saw from him.
And, you know, he's not a Ryan Mallett quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a perfect quarterback for this system. He's actually probably too good of a quarterback for a Brett Bielema one receiver set system. And if he can have a 15 for 22 day with 200-plus yards and 3 touchdowns, you know, that's going to be his – if he does that all year round, you know what stats that sounds like to me? A.J. McCarron.
That's true.
Almost 3-time national – I mean, he's on his way to his 3rd national
championship.
No doubt. Let's be real about it. But
if
Brandon Allen can compete like that and keep that defense honoring the passing game, because they know one thing about Brett Bielema. They're going to put nine in the box, and they're going to put pressure on the run game. If he can make that defense honor the pass, it's going to open up that powerful 1-2 punch.
Javonte Herndon, we haven't talked about him. Two guys I do want to highlight. Javonte Herndon, three catches, but he had two touchdowns on the first two drives. So, I mean, very impressive, and that was really kind of out of left field. Did not expect to see him. And all week we asked, who's the receiver going to be? Who's going to be that guy? And Hunter Henry, again, a big performance.
Golly.
Five catches for him. And then Trey Flowers. I heard something I don't hear a lot of, and that is Bruce James praising a defensive lineman at Arkansas. And it's not anything negative against Bruce. It's just he doesn't pass out compliments unless somebody's really deserving. And he had all kinds of good things to say about Trey Flowers this morning on the show with No Name. 4.5 total tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, and he was named the defensive lineman of the week here in the SEC. So pretty impressive game out of the gate.
I love it. You know, whenever you get a defensive stat line like that your first week, it does nothing but give you confidence for the rest of the year. And everybody knew with Petrino's system it was going to be offense, offense, offense. I love seeing week one. We got a defensive player of the week in week one in the SEC. That's a mouthful. And with Trey Flowers, and it was supposed to be Chris Smith, now offenses are worried about both sides of our ends.
Yeah.
And, I mean, football is such a mental game. If you've got to worry about 42 and now you got to worry about 89, it just – dang it, now what are we going to do? We were going to shift our linemen. We were going to shift them right. Now we got to shift them left. We got to worry about – and we're going to go man-to-man protection. Man up against Trey Flowers and Chris Smith. We're going to get a lot of sacks.
Mentally, Justin Akre, Matt Harris, Phil Olsen joining you from the Little Rock Touchdown Club again brought to you by Epic Health. Mentally, how difficult is it for a player to get up for a game like this? Now, the one advantage is, of course, you're going to a new environment. The people who are more are going to be juiced to see you. But, again, you're playing an FCS school and one that's not nearly as highly thought of as some of the other ones that got wins this weekend. And you're coming off a big win over what is really thought of as a pretty darn good team in the Sun Belt. So, mentally, what do you think they're dealing with this week?
You know, I don't know. This is just me personally. Mentally, I never had trouble getting up for a game. You're in the SEC. You represent the state of Arkansas and our conference. We have a lot of pride in the SEC. Obviously, it's the passion of the South. I don't care if I'm playing Samford or Alabama. I play them the exact same way, and it does nothing but help you. John Wooden said, you know, it doesn't matter who you play, it's your preparation on who you play. And the preparation to play Samford is the same way you're going to prepare against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
If you slack off against Samford and think that you can prepare, you know, halfway here against Samford and then tune it up for Alabama, you're dead wrong. That's just not the way it happens. And these are big time. This is a big time league and a big time team. These guys aren't going to go in there half mentally ready for a lesser opponent. That's just not the way it's going to happen. I don't think so. I think we have a new team. I don't know the leadership, so to speak, on the senior side of the ball. We got a new quarterback who's going to step up and be loud about it. I heard Jarrett Lake was a good guy about leadership. If someone does slack off, I hope someone's up there saying, hey, we're not getting ready for Samford right now. We're getting ready for our SEC opponents, like Coach Bielema was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You get ready for them right now.
Well, they got a ways to go for sure. There are things they want to prove on. Chris Ash was especially, I thought, critical of his defense, so their expectations are very high, and certainly they've got some work to do to get ready for that game coming up.
I do, and I'll tell you, mentally, I won't want to tackle Hunter Henry when he's split out as our wideout.
What about other – did you before we're going to get Dan Hampton on here in just a minute, but other SEC games, anything else stand out to you? Obviously, the premier game was the Clemson-Georgia game. I wasn't shocked at the outcome, but it was turned out to be
great
a very
game.
Close game.
Yeah, I thought it was exactly like it was supposed to. Two powerhouses from top teams from each conference going at each other. I didn't get to watch it because I was in Fayetteville and staying at Lucas's house, and Lucas doesn't have cable TV.
Lucas Miller?
Yeah.
And really?
He doesn't have, so if Lucas, you're listening, get cable.
What is Lucas doing nowadays?
He's in medical sales up there and has a great apartment, great
Who doesn't have
big
cable?
TV and sound system and no cable.
Where does he get his?
I don't know.
How does he watch games?
He doesn't. He just watches movies all the time.
Lucas Miller.
Netflix.
Jockstrap to you.
I know.
Who doesn't have TV? I don't. Look, if you want to go a different route, that's fine.
I was following it on my phone, and, you know, Taj Boyd was incredible.
Come
I saw
on, Holmes.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. That is embarrassing. How can a former college football player not have access to college football games?
I hope he gets roasted right now.
I don't know how you could do that.
Well, he's doing it, and it's embarrassing because I didn't get to watch it, so I'm putting all my blame on him.
Lucas Miller, do we need to take up a collection for him?
No.
I mean, the guy probably makes more money than I do.
No,
I have cable.
He's doing fine. He's got hardwood in his apartment, okay?
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you this. Taj Boyd is my leading contender for the Heisman.
Yeah, he's doing unbelievable.
Phil is making his case for Jameis Winston, who you may have seen back at your house yesterday.
I did get to watch that game.
You have cable.
Yes, I was watching Florida State game. Unbelievable for a – he's a redshirt freshman, but a true freshman, and when you're actually playing – He did, what, one ball didn't hit the ground in the first half.
I don't think he had an incomplete pass until the second half, right?
Yeah. I mean, going the announcers, Chris Palmer said it on air, or Chris Palmer, Jesse Palmer said it on air, to go against a 7-on-7, to do that on air without a defense, I mean, most of the time you miss hit. You throw ball low, high, and, I mean, he was on point against the, you know, a good Pittsburgh team. I mean,
that was a good
yeah.
We were talking about that was a team that was top 10 in a lot of defensive categories last year, and they had 9 defensive starters back. They're not some slumpy, slouchy team.
They were a great, I mean, it was a,
they're not a great team, but they're a very good defense, and above average defense.
It would have been a good first half if that quarterback wasn't just lights out.
They flushed him out a few times, and that's one of the things
on
that
the
was
move,
really great is you got to
pocket,
see him kind of rush out and throw in the run.
Everything. He was highly, highly impressive. That Florida State's going to be a contender by the end of the year if they keep that up.
Huh? I just got a text from a friend of mine who's a Noles fan. He says, stop talking about them. You're going to jinx them.
Oh, I got a buddy who's a Florida State fan, too, so I'm waiting for the day he
I picked him to win the national title last year. They totally screwed me. I was very disappointed.
Were they top 5 going in?
Yeah. They a lot of people had them winning the national title last year. They didn't pull it off. Matt, I know we're up against it here, and
go ahead.
Dan Hampton is visiting with some folks, but we'll visit with him as soon as we come back. So let's see if he's
ready
sort of between, because I know. It's